Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and it's my stage name. I also perform not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking at all of you guys here today, and I want to say to you, therapy is right. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some reason,
welcome, everyone. You've just tuned in to the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you that success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. And I want to say one thing before we get started. If you are a first-time invite to our program, if you are a regular viewer with our broadcast, put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. You can also check out my blog, which is dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com, and find out what's going on. You can check out my resource materials, my blogs, my books. But also, if you want to get more details about what's going on with me, go to cmrmotivator.com. The letter C as in cow, MRMOTIVATOR.com. And if you have questions, feel free to email us. And the email address is cthemotivator@yahoo.com. The letter C as in cow, CHEMOTIVATOR@yahoo.com. The art of visualization. I know you've probably heard that before, but how many of you actually know what that is? Today we're going to explore goal setting and the art of visualization. If you want to experience more success in your life, your career, your business, stay with us. Don't go anywhere. This broadcast will be of great help to you. Goal setting is a big thing. Goal setting is not something that's new. Goal setting has been with us from the beginning. In fact, America was discovered because someone decided to set a goal and to get beyond the rim that they were. They wanted to explore the world. Someone said, I have a goal to find out what's beneath us. It was also said that Columbus had a goal to prove that the world was round. Ladies and gentlemen, goal setting has been with us throughout the years. Even during the Stone Age years, the cave people set goals for survival. They had to create things in order to feed themselves, in order to survive the daily life. Goal setting is with us now. People set goals for retirement. People set goals to advance in their career. Goal setting is not just an art, but goal setting is a way of life. But why is it? Why do we have people who are successful setting their goals, and we have others complete their goals? Goal setting is a way of life. Goal setting is important. You can set a goal for every area of your life, spiritual, mental, financial, social. A goal is pushing ourselves to strive for achievement. Maybe you have a goal to buy your son a bicycle. Maybe you have a goal to put your daughter in college. If you don't have a goal, you won't have anything to aim for. I remember when I was in the band, in order to walk a straight line, the band director taught us to look out and pick an object, and an object that was in front of you. And if you focused on that object, it would help you continue to walk a straight line and to keep your diagonal or whatever you were trying to do out on the football field. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go a little bit further than this goal setting, and we're going to talk about a key element involving goal setting, because if you don't believe that your goal is obtainable, if you can't see yourself achieving that goal may not materialize. We are going to bring our guest out. Our guest also is a frequent guest. She's a good friend of mine. She has a successful talk show called Let's Talk Truth. She's also an educator, a businesswoman. She's a life coach. She is an inspiration to many. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring out my favorite guest, the one and only, the lovely, the beautiful, the talented, the witty, Let's Talk, Lord Bullock of Let's Talk To. How you doing, Lord?
Doing really, really good this morning. I am really enjoying the morning. And I am so excited to be here talking about visualization, the art of visualization.
Yes.
People don't realize how important visual is.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people, visual mean you can see it.
Yes.
And it's the image or whatever it is you have, your goal is set, you have to be able to see that goal.
Yes.
And I don't mean just see it as you put it down on paper, but you have to see it coming to life. You have to see it walking around.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people, I don't want anybody to feel that people who are visually impaired able to visualize, because they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because visualization is merely to recall or form a mental image or a picture of something. So that's a mental image or picture. You have to be able to see what it is you're going for.
That's right.
Once you see it, you feel it, everything, then the success is there.
Mm-hmm.
The success is there.
Yes.
So I'm just excited about it because, you know, we have all had to visualize certain things to get where we are.
That's right.
It wasn't easy because you have to, there's a reason it says the art of visualization.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to visualize the things you want to visualize.
Yes.
How to make it real. That in essence, that's what you're doing. You're putting a mental picture together to make things real in your mind, in your heart, and things are going to work out from there.
Awesome. Well, let's look at some everyday people. Let's look at some people who may not be experiencing the success that they would like to experience in their lives right now. And I want you to, that person or those people, visualize achieving a success to get them out of that situation. Now, let me give you an example. Maybe there's a young lady that may be listening to our program. She's trapped in a relationship that's not working.
Mm-hmm.
She's away from home. In fact, she's thousands of miles away from home. She's in a situation where maybe she has a child that's on the way. And she's with a young man who doesn't seem to have matureness.
Mm-hmm.
And the young man is disrespectful. He's still into partying and hanging out and just doing things that
most bachelors like to do, play around or whatever. Okay, this young lady, for some reason, she has a lot of potential. She's smart, she's talented, but yet she finds herself stuck in a situation. She probably doesn't want to go home because someone at home may have told her that, hey, it's not going to work. You're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to go back home, wherever she lives, to say, hey, I'm a failure. And she's in a distant land, but yet she's in a trap. And her self-esteem is at the lowest. This young lady has no goals for herself. And what could be applied to someone that might be in a situation like that, help them set a goal and to use this visualization technique that you're sharing with us? Give me an example. How could this young lady in a situation like that, what could she do to apply to
benefit herself?
Yeah.
First of all, I have to say this, that people who are in certain positions,
mm-hmm.
Where they're dependent on the wrong person,
yes,
for their livelihood. I need to say, first of all, no one lost their self-esteem in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is going to gain it back in one day.
I see.
It's a process.
Yes.
But the first order of business in a person like that who has lost their self-esteem, who really don't know who they are, they need to just believe one thing about themselves,
uh-huh.
that I am somebody. If they could just say that to themselves,
yes. Yes.
and say, I am somebody. Now, what that's going to encompass to help boost them, because you can say it, but you have to convince yourself.
Uh-huh.
Well, and you need convincing. And I tell people who are alone, you don't have anybody day to day to tell you. But I want to say this. If you are born and you're in this world and you know your name and wherever you are somebody. And all you have to do is every time you pass a mirror and look in it, tell yourself, I'm somebody. I am somebody. Eventually, if you keep tapping that every day, you're going to start to believe that. And I'm saying this to people who don't have somebody, a support group.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who have support groups that, you know, I can talk to you every day and get you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who don't have a support group, who gets up every day by themselves.
Yes.
You get up by yourself every time you pass a mirror. Tell yourself,
mm-hmm.
I am somebody.
Yes.
And, pardon me,
mm-hmm.
you need to keep telling yourself that until you believe it.
Yes.
Because you have to know who you are before you can visualize success.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're not worth anything, you can't visualize anything.
That's true.
I had a daughter, my daughter, when she was small. There was a song that used to say play all the time. It was a secular song, and I told her one day, I said, you don't even know what that man is singing.
Wow.
She said, you know, I really don't. She said, I listen to the beat of the music. Now, that's really a sad thing to say, that you're in a place or in a position and you can't listen,
mm-hmm.
or you don't understand.
Yes.
You don't have to be in the body of Christ. I just happen to be in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to be in the body of Christ to get a message.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Keys has a song out that says, Woman's Word.
Mm-hmm.
That one message right there says you're worth something.
Yes.
And when women realize, if you are secular setting,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and you're worth something, start Start speaking that.
Yes.
Start walking in that. Mm-hmm. And say, I am somebody and I'm worth something and I do not have to put up with what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of women make mistakes. You're out there. You're by yourself. You're taking this abuse, verbal, doesn't have to be physical abuse all the time, verbal abuse, emotional abuse. That's abuse, period.
Mm-hmm.
And it hinders your growth. It stops you from growing. And it stops you from setting goals, let alone visualizing them.
Mm-hmm.
And they stop you from doing that. So we have to tell ourselves, and we have to depend on ourselves. We weren't here with, we weren't brought into the world with anybody to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
Just ourselves. So let's take it void of Christ. Even if you don't know the Lord, you know you were born for a purpose and something real in your life, and you know you're somebody. Tell yourself that.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, I am somebody. And once you know that, then you can start to set goals for yourself.
Wow.
But you got to know you're somebody first.
Wow, I like this. And we, folks, if you listen today, what Lord said is very important. You have to start first, get you an affirmation. Like the one that she said, I am somebody. And put allow yourself to hear yourself saying that you're important. I am somebody. I am on my way to success. I am progress in motion. You got to, you have to build yourself up so that you feel worthy of setting goals. Because what is a goal? A goal, and I like the one that Mr. Paul Meyer used, his definition. Success is the progressive realization of a predetermined, worthwhile, personal goal.
Mm-hmm.
Your goals are personal. Your goals are things that are important to you. That's what's going to motivate you. But if you feel bad about yourself, and you think that you're a nobody and you're a jinx and that you have no place here on earth, it will be very difficult for you to set a goal if you allow yourself to believe that you're worthless and you're not worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Folks, get you an affirmation. And there are a lot of places where you can get affirmations. Now, Lois and I, we love going to our Bible to look for affirmation. But you can get one out of, I think, Philippians, where it says, I can do all things, Christ who strengthens me. So you can say, I can do whatever I put my mind to because I am creative. I am persistent. And once you tell yourself that and you believe that, see, you know that you, all of us have special talents and abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't tap into what you have, how will you discover your world? How will you discover you? How will you discover your success? Another example I'm going to use, I thought about, I was reading about one of my all-time great favorite basketball player was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was cut from his basketball team his sophomore year of school. And he was sad because he always wanted to play basketball, and when he got out there, he didn't make it because he wasn't good enough. But the coach took a special interest in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw that this young man, if I can get him to believe in himself and work with him, I can help him with some techniques that will allow him to enhance the natural skills that he already has. See, the coach was smart enough to see a couple of moves that he did, even though Michael was not in the position or was not good enough to play on the team. And guess what? When the coach got Michael Jordan to repeat those affirmations about himself, and then after he got him to repeat those affirmations, then the next step was the coach starts him setting goals. Well, we want to work in this area here this time.
Mm-hmm.
And as Michael became a student of the game, he quickly picked up on the things that the coach was teaching him, and he learned how to set goals, improve himself in all those areas.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing the coach put in front of him was the art of visualization.
Mm-hmm.
He had the young man to get a picture of himself shooting the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And when Michael got that picture and he saw himself through that picture, and the coach having to put that picture close by where he could visualize so he could see it. So every time he walked to the bathroom, every time he got in from practice, he saw that picture. Before he got to bed every night to say his prayers to get to bed,
he saw it.
He saw that picture. And that picture became so vivid in his mind. I've talked to people that were out there on the court with him, and some of his greatest competitors said that Jordan's vision was so strong that it was as though he didn't see them when they double-teamed him, because he saw himself going to that goal. Now, you can't tell me that visualization isn't a powerful technique. Lois, I know you probably have some examples, because I know you were a competitor, and there were people that you hung around with who were successful. So can you give us an example or an illustration of someone that you knew applied goal setting and visualization?
Well, there are a number of people that, and I don't just speak on one, because I'm the type of person, I look at everyone's success, you know, as being successful, as a boost. But what I do believe wholeheartedly is that had I not had confidence in myself, even without knowing Christ, if had I not had confidence in myself, it wouldn't matter who out there was successful. It never would have impressed me. So I know that the first art of being able to set a goal and to visualize anything, you have to have confidence in who you are. I talk to many people, many young ladies, and I told a young lady, in fact, this morning, she's expecting her first child with her boyfriend. She's not married. He is very mentally and emotionally abusive to her. He wants her to think that he's got girlfriends everywhere. I told her, I said, number one, that is not love. If he loves you, he wouldn't want you to be stressed out and you carry his child. I said, and then just because you're carrying his child, you don't have to stay there and go through that. First of all, she has her own money. She can go live anywhere she wants to. And I asked her, I said, do you think so little of yourself that you can't see yourself walking out of this? I said, you have to see yourself walking out of out of this. I said, and you have to let him know emphatically that you are not all that.
That's right.
And I said, he has a problem with low self-esteem, or he wouldn't want you to think he had all kind of women.
Yes, he does.
I said, you know, it's kind of like bullying.
Yes.
The person that's doing the bullying has a greater problem than the person who they're bullying.
You're right.
Because it's really a sad case.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had to myself sit down and just visualize the things that I want to be a part of.
Yes.
And the things that I want to, push me in my life, my goals
mm-hmm.
in life. And once you sit down and visualize it, all we have to do then is move toward that mark mm-hmm. and stay patient until we arrive there.
Yes.
I do have a tendency sometimes to want things to happen so fast, you know, and lack of patience. But I'm working on that because you have to wait until it's time for your flower to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm trying to make it bloom out of season, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that we have to be cognizant of. Making your goal visible, like you said Michael Jordan did, and take that art of visualization, put it there, and look at it until it becomes real.
Yes.
And that's what you have to do. And
yes.
You have to, you know, because if it's something you really want to do really bad,
mm-hmm.
you're going to open every avenue to get there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You are very, very right. That young lady has to, she has to see success instead of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times, because we're seeing failure, we tend to run from our situation. And that's why visualization is so important. If you're not seeing success, it means that you're programmed into seeing failure.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, we fail or we can't visualize things because we depend on somebody else.
Mm.
But you can't depend on somebody else to make your goal come true. Because I promise you, if you keep pushing with your own art of visualization, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come true.
Yeah.
It's got to come.
It's going to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I love that. Folks, are you listening? Lord, why is it that oftentimes the majority of us out here focus on other people? You have this vision on the inside of you to start a business, for
mm-hmm.
example,
mm-hmm.
but you got to get your friend Lily to come in and be partner with you, and maybe Lily doesn't want to own a business. Lily doesn't have desire, and you're wasting time because you can't do it unless I have my best friend Lily with me.
I believe that that's human nature, because if I fail, I didn't, you know, it wasn't a failure by myself.
Yes.
I can put some of that blame on somebody else. And so this is why we like to take somebody with us. If I'm going to fall in this hole, I'm not falling in here by myself. It'll be too lonely down there.
Yeah. Right.
But it's merely a fear of owning failure by yourself. You know, if I'm failing, oh, God, I can't fail by myself. I need somebody to fail with me. So we have to reverse that. And let's think about the success we're going to have.
Yes.
And how successful is it? Is it? And how rewarding is it going to be? It's very rewarding when you reach a goal. Every time you reach a goal, every time you accomplish something and that you have projected out there, and it's very rewarding. So we want to hold hands with somebody when there's a fear there.
You're right. I remember back in grade school, you know how sometimes kids get together and guys get with their other friends? And there was a guy in my class, he was smaller than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
He was small and he was real short. His name was Jerry. Jerry Dunn Trinity. And Jerry was small, but Jerry had a lot of speed. And back at that time, Superman was the biggest thing to all the guys. We'd rush home after school to see Superman because Superman beat up the bullies that were trying to pick on another guy. You know,
he did such great things, and he was tough, and he could fly. And the next day we came to school, Jerry told us, it was break time. Is the teacher looking? We said, no, teacher's not looking. He opened up his shirt. Jerry had on a Superman suit. And Jerry says, hey, now I'm not going to let any of those big guys push me around. And they handed Jerry the football, and Jerry faked and ran. He went on. He scored a touchdown because that Superman outfit.
He had confidence in himself.
He had confidence in himself because Jerry visualized himself being a great because he had that Superman outfit on. He still had on another uniform when he ran his touchdown. And I was listening to an interview with Sylvester Stallone. I think he was on the Arsenio Hall show one night. And Stallone said when he was in school, Superman was his hero. He was just motivated every time he saw Superman. And so Stallone said, I think he got his mother, somebody put him, they made him a Superman outfit. Anyway, he wore his Superman uniform to school, and he was so fly. And he said he'd been in the class of teaching, and he was alone, and he's sitting there visualizing himself being Superman. And guess what? It carried over to him when he became Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
He became the all-time great hero of the working class.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't find anyone, nobody, that doesn't enjoy watching Rocky. Even if you go back and look at all the old movies, they get intense. When we visualize, it sets us in a different category. It puts us beyond the norm. I mean, look at you. You've had some things that happened to you that a lot of people would have given up.
Mm-hmm.
But here you are. I think you told me you've had some marriages that weren't successful. You've had other things that happened in your life.
Every marriage I had wasn't successful.
And you worked in corporate America where you were making a good paycheck, and then somebody just shut the company down or ran off with the money, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But look at you. Here you are today. You have your own successful talk show. You're working on a book. You have a magazine that you're working on. Would you say you have that visualization is a big part of your life, the reason why you don't give up?
And one thing is that driving force in you,
yes,
that confidence. I know what I'm called to do. I know what my purpose is, so I'm not going to give up. If I turn the knob on 20 doors, one of those doors is going to come open. But, I, you know, and I'm just going to keep turning until they come open. And it's always good to, I just see everything that I love. I work with youth. I work with young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean from little bitty babies on up to young adults. Mm-hmm. And I work with women who are having issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I just visualize that becoming a very successful move because young people are hurting.
Yes.
We go through things that I feel like that I know, but at the time that I voice them, I don't know that they're the right, you know, I don't know that that's the norm, but I know I have a feeling for it. I have always said something, and I'm bringing this to maybe pulling it a little bit out of the show, but I don't think it'll put it that far out. Back in the day, I homeschooled my children.
Yes.
And I put them back into public school because at the time, you've been brainwashed to think that public schools are schools, period. But I always said, what can an outsider teach my child that I can't? Who has the love for my child,
mm-hmm,
that can create curriculum to feed that child what's going to help them to grow.
Yes.
And I've always said that. Well, there is, I saw a little clip from this 13-year-old boy whose mom homeschooled him. And she took it just a little further than I did when I homeschooled my children, because I took them out. I homeschooled them, then I put them back in public school. Well, that was good because my daughter, who was the oldest, she graduated valedictorian of her class. And my son graduated ninth in his class out of so many hundreds, and National Honor Society. So they made me proud.
Yes.
But this little boy, he has taken it to the next level. His mom structured his education at home to the point this little boy is off the chain, if you would listen to him talk. And he did a complete presentation showing why he excels at what he does. He said, because my mother homeschooled me. He said, I'm glad she didn't listen to people when they said, you're doing the worst thing you could ever do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because now, he said, I'm in the position I learned through my passion for what I love to do. And he said, if you ask kids, you ask a child, what are you going to do when you grow up? Oh, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a doctor. He said, everybody wants to, stamp that. That's what to do. He said, but all the time, that's not what kids want to do. He said, once you find the passion in your child and you educate him according to that passion, because, Mr. Motivator, you are an educator. And I know, I have shared this with you. I believe that to teach a child to read, the school system has it backwards, because you want to teach everybody out of the same book.
Yes.
There are kids who aren't interested in that book you're trying to teach them, so they won't comprehend it. If you are going to, whatever piques a child's interest, that's the book you teach them to read. Because what is reading? Teaching them how to comprehend that that they see. It's not just calling the words. So this little boy, and if I can, I'm going to get you that clip,
okay,
so that you can see how this young man put together his curriculum, and he's 13 years old, and he is awesome. I mean, he's educated past a lot of teachers, I know.
Yes.
So that's one thing that I saw that the art of visualization can bring about, helping to educate and to put people in the right perspective. Because we're spending all this money on our children's education, and they're not really being educated.
I agree with you 100%. And you did not pull the show out of context. That was very much in order, because that's what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to give me a personal illustration, because, see, when you've experienced that, you saw the power of visualization, and so therefore you help your kids, your children, create a mindset. You allow them to visualize seeing themselves, you help them to see themselves successful in their studies. And I got another good illustration. I was reading about a doctor who was very successful. He's a black doctor. His name is Dr. Ben Carson. And Ben grew up with a single parent mom. They were very poor. And Ben was in school. And at the time, I guess, there was a time when they had integration. And Ben wasn't doing very well in school. And the other kids were doing much better than Ben in class. And Ben's mother was a little worried, because, see, mothers see potential in their children when nobody else does. And his mother, even though she had no money and they were kind of struggling, she took Ben to the library and checked out books. And she got Ben motivated to reading books. And Ben said those books motivated him because he began to travel. He said, I saw myself, I went into different parts of the world. And he said in classroom, I began to visualize seeing myself helping people all around the world. And those books motivated Ben, and Ben became a successful heart surgeon, Dr. Ben Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed with that. And then the last one that I've been doing a little research and studying on, and I know you got another a good one you want to share.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been reading and doing some research on Dr. Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that Dr. King became a master in visualization.
Mm-hmm.
He got so caught up in to helping people, and he want, and his vision, as you know, it became reality because
mm-hmm.
he saw how love could transform people. And as my research took me to different segments to where Dr. King studied people who were masters in the art of love, and of course, you know, he studied the gentleman who was responsible for using love instead of violence,
mm-hmm.
Which was Gandhi,
mm-hmm.
and Gandhi was in a situation where he was hated, he was the most hated man, and he refused to use violence. And he saw how this man moved millions of people by his love and nonviolence. And Dr. King researched, and then he looked more into love, and he looked at how we could take love and take nonviolence and move people. And he began to visualize seeing that for our nation and our world.
Mm-hmm.
And it manifested itself in the last segment of his life. He stood there in Washington, and he said, "I have a dream."
Mm-hmm.
His visual manifested himself. That visualization moved this man. And our lives, you and I, people in the world today, we can contribute a lot of where we are, a lot of our success to
mm-hmm.
Dr. Martin Luther King.
Exactly. And you know, one thing that I'm visualizing, because
mm-hmm.
my work will continue
mm-hmm.
in education and
yes.
with women,
yes.
children, or whatever. And the one thing that people stand on now is literacy. We want to eradicate literacy. But while you're eradicating literacy, you need to be promoting creativity.
Yes.
Because I can read 1,000 books, but if you have smothered my creativity,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be what I have been called to be.
You are absolutely right.
Young children, I see young children walking to school every day.
Yes.
And you look at the way they're dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, uniforms. They take your creativity away from
you. Yes, they do.
That, you know, we're all going to look alike.
Yeah, we're all going to look alike.
And, you know, so you take a person's creativity away.
You start.
There are some little girls and some young men out there. We know how not to let our children leave home going overboard. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But little hairstyles and little things that little girls want to do, shirts and jackets and things they want to put together, it's creativity.
Yes, it is.
You know, but we take our creativity away
mm-hmm.
from our children in the name of literacy.
Yes, we do.
I want to make sure that my children get the best education. But we're giving them the education based on what we want them to do.
Yes.
Not what's in them to do.
Yes.
And, you know, a parent should be able to know what's creative about their child and how to. So I'm all for it, and I'm all for maybe everybody can't homeschool because you have to work. But I'm so very much of a school that will come together and use those two words together, creativity and literacy, use it at the same time. And I'm all for a school like that.
I am too. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I pray for our president, President Obama,
mm-hmm.
and for First Lady Michelle Obama, because that was one thing that inspired me about President Obama, because he said, we're a nation, we're a world, and that we can do things to make this a better world. And he said, yes, we can. Can we eradicate unemployment? Can we help people get out of situations that they're in that seem impossible? He said, yes, we can. And we have to pray for him that the people who are with him, that they look at the positive and look at themselves and say, hey, can we run with some of the good, or do we just try to attack everything that he's trying to do? Because his wife is focusing on children and their health, and she's focusing on obesity, but yet people often criticize her and make fun of her. But the goal is to help save the lives of children.
Mm-hmm.
And today, in our we have our employment rate is high, and people are steady losing jobs. Companies are cutting back, and I don't think it's so much always because they have to. We have to visualize seeing a way when it looks like there isn't a way.
Mm-hmm.
When people begin to look at the news report and they listen to the newsman on TV, and the newsman tells us, hey, society is doomed.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have Social Security. We're not going to have jobs. We're not going to have housing. Now, whether we realize it or not, he's creating a visual.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to believe that visual. We can say where there's a problem, there is an answer.
Yes, it is.
Where there's a sand trap, there's a solution. Where there's a molehill, there's a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
We have to visualize and see a solution. If you're a math student and every problem that you encounter, if you see it as a problem that can't be solved, you will not solve the math problem. You will not be a good student.
That's right. Yeah.
And so we got to change our images.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the other thing, and I want you to comment too, but you mentioned about when kids have a uniform and everybody looks alike, how can another student have his own identity? How can they feel special when all of them are forced to look and act the same way?
Mm-hmm.
See, we want our kids to be robots, but when you have a robot, you lose creativity.
You lose it.
And then I like what you said. Some of the students, they walk around and they have their pants bagging,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're showing their underwear.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize they're creating an image for themselves. And you got to change your appearance when you see yourself in success. The day that I saw myself being Mr. Motivated, I got out of those jeans and I got into suits. I cut my fro and I got my hair cut to where it looks presentable.
Mm-hmm.
I look at you. You know, you look nice. You inspire the youth that you work with to dress nice. What are you doing when you're talking to those young people? Aren't you trying to help them to see that visualization is important?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this is what we're talking about, the art of visual.
Yes.
You know, you have to be able to, whatever is going on inside of you,
mm-hmm.
and we call it goals,
yes.
Whatever you are inspired to do from the inside.
Yes.
Visualize it,
mm-hmm.
because the art of visualization take in your creativity. You have to be creative to be able to do things.
Yes.
You have to be able to create something.
Yes.
So that's why not just learning how to read it, but how to put it together to make it appetizing. You know, you can fix me a plate, but if you don't make it appetizing, I'm not going to want to eat it. You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Yes.
You've got to be creative to make me whatever it is you're looking at. I've got to be able to make that visual thing work and make it appetizing. So this is what we have to do, our art of visualization, make it appetizing by digging deep into you and bringing out that creativity and putting it out there. And that's what's going to make you go forth.
I agree with
you. I get excited. You know, like you said, I'm working on a magazine and putting it together, letting those creative juices flow to put it together so that when somebody in another state picks it up and look at it, they'll want to read it. They'll want to grab it and read it,
yeah.
You know. So all of these things happen in our lives. This is the success of our life.
Whatever
you want to be successful doing, let your art of visualization put your creativity out there. Make it real. Make it whatever you're looking at. You know, make somebody want to do it, want to feel it, want to experience it.
Yes. Inspire them. You know, I was looking at, you know, look at the people who contribute today. Look at in our society. Look at Steve Jobs. And how his creativity, along with visualization, moved us into the technology world. Look at Bill Gates and his creativity. Do you know that when you have a child that's very creative, and you put them with a teacher who is not creative, that teacher will stifle that child. Look, wait, get rid of that. That's stupid. I don't like that. That is not the way I operate.
Mm-hmm.
And we are allowing our children to have their creativity taken away from them because we put them with people who have no creativity. We put them with people who operate just on out of control and being moved by their emotions and just being angered and then you wonder why our kids aren't being more productive.
Yes.
We're allowing them to get with people who are just killing their creativity.
And that's like talking about the art of visualization, using literacy and creativity as part of it.
Yes.
Why do you think kids lay in front of those games all day long? They're enjoying someone else's visualization.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we motivate them from getting there to their own?
Yes.
You know, to visualizing their own work. And I think it's because we have made our young people robots. We've stuck them to being robotic, and everybody said we're going to all sit in front of the game and play with our thumbs. You know, we're exercising our thumbs, and but we're not exercising our brains.
Wow. You know, you hit on a powerful point. We're not teaching our kids to exercise their brains. We're trying to condition, and you know, that's the problem with the world, with society.
Mm-hmm.
Society wants everybody to conform.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you to be like, you know, you be a Bill Gates. But look, there's only one Bill Gates. Everybody can't be Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be you. And God created one you, and there is not another you, and nor will there ever be another you.
Exactly.
And you got to be yourself. And if you be who you were created, you will be great being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a society is missing. You know, society wants everybody to act a certain way. You got to talk a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You got to turn your head a certain way, or you can't work with our newscast. You can't be a broadcaster if you don't have a certain kind of laugh, and you don't have a certain kind of look, and you got to be a certain kind of size. And that's what society has missed it. You know, for Mr. Motivated, my goal is to inspire everyone to be
be themselves to be you. Because when you discover you, the greatest thing that could ever happen in my life was when I discovered that God made me Mr. Motivator.
Mm-hmm. And he made you a unique individual.
He made me a unique individual.
And we're all unique.
And we're all unique. Go ahead.
We're all unique, and we all have a goal in mind. If we say, if you would sit 100 people in front of you and ask them, deep within you, what is your goal? I don't mean what do you do every day for a living. What do you want to do? Could you do it?
Yes.
And you're going to find all sort of different things that could be put together and to make a great big splash in society. It would be something so totally different. Not everyone wants to be a doctor.
No.
Not everyone wants to be an attorney. There are some people who are working in certain fields that's not what you want to do.
That's right. And do you want to make all your kids? I know I've had one of my friends who is from another country, and my friend said that everybody from that particular region, they're trying to get all their kids to be doctors because they want their kids to make good money and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. You inspiring your kid to be a doctor, but if your kid, that's not your kid's gift, that's not their design, you're going to make their life miserable. The other thing I want to say real quickly is that society is trying to force everyone to be the same way. You know, everyone has to have an 850 credit score. You have to have this. You have to have that. You got to act a certain way in order to get some help. My goal is to inspire people to say, hey, you know, I can be creative and I can come up with some ideas that will open the door for me. My visualization will make room for me, and I don't have to conform to be a robot and to act goofy or to act silly because that's considered the norm.
And I know you have just a few minutes left, like 2 minutes.
Go ahead, make a comment.
I wanted to comment this.
Mm-hmm.
My goal in life,
yes,
is to pay cash for everything I want.
Yes.
House?
Yes.
Car?
Yes.
Clothes? I don't want no accounts.
Yes.
I don't want no credit cards.
Yes.
I want nothing. I want to pay cash for everything.
Yes.
That's my goal. And I can do it because there are people in this world who don't use credit cards. They don't have to. I don't want to have to do that because I think that the credit industry is a billion-dollar industry, and I think people are getting rich off of us by doing it. And a lot of things, because people are sticking stuff on your credit that don't belong on your credit, and they think we don't have sense enough to know that, but yet we're just like little puppets. We have to jump through hoops, and that's my goal, and I'm doing a visualization on it, and I'm going to make sure it comes to pass for me.
Hey, you're right. I agree with you 100%. People are trying to take advantage of people and especially in terms of credit. And look, you're not doing somebody a favor when you give them $1 million and then you got them in debt. You know, you give them $300,000 home and you act like, well, we did them a favor because we let them use their credit. Hey, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Pay cash and forget about the system that's trying to keep people in debt. Seems that we're almost out of time, folks, but I want to encourage you today, visualize your success. And this is what Mr. Motivator says, and I want you to remember this, folks. Success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. Visualize, take some time every day to just visualize and see yourself achieving your goals. Folks, we enjoyed you today. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. We pray that this show has really inspired you in some way. Tune in with us again next week, the same time, same place. I'm Mr. Motivator. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Well, thank you. So, you really know how to get your guests, get people stirred up. Well, you know, now you when you get over the credit, well, we could, you know, but we'll wait till when you kind of get things and get things set up. We're gonna let you be a guest. We're gonna come on and talk about credit and let you just go ahead.
That's just a $1 billion way to rip people off.
Make them think.
Now look at me. You've got to make my car insurance higher because of my credit score.
Yeah.
You're not giving me anything. If I don't pay my premium, you're going to cancel me. And no matter how my credit is, I'm paying for my coverage. So it's state-mandated coverage.
Yeah,
so why are you using my credit?
Well, see, they're using that to say, hey, you know, you should be punished because you ain't got perfect credit. And it's wrong. You know, and like you say, they're putting stuff on it. Look here. The credit repair people, you know, what that guy, that old man, he's going back and getting stuff and putting it on folks' credit. See, he's acting like we're the police and we're supervising everybody's credit to protect people's credit. And they just putting it back on them. If you notice, so who does it put it back on them when you take it off? When it's the experience, those people.
That's right.
See, they are the ones that cook. See, think about it.
Exactly.
You don't got Sears kicked out. Sears don't know anything about, and all of a sudden, it's been 20 years, and it eased back up there. Experience is the one to do that. That's like that white guy, you know, that police, the ministry, they call it, what's his name, Ole Anthony?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what they call it. We're the credit watchdog. And the Ole Anthony, he calls himself the church watchdog.
Yeah.
But what's he doing? He's getting money off the TV reporters because they pay him all his money to go in there and try to send some people in to dig stuff out of people's trash to shut down the ministry.
That's horrible.
Well, you know, remember that lady you talked about, Sister Bull, me and you talked about, you say she, her day is coming.
Yeah.
You know, the one that shut prayer out.
Oh, you know how her life ended.
Yeah.
Ended horribly.
It was. The devil killed her.
Killed her, and she was in a well for dead for I don't know how long.
Yeah, she worked for. See, she that devil was her master, and he came back, and he rewarded her for getting prayer out of school by killing her, putting her in a well.
Yep. Calvary, blessings to you this morning, my sweet. How you doing, sweetie?